I'd like to join with Billy in saying we are elated with your presence today, and we want to shake hands and be friendly at the close of the service. We're delighted to have you. When Paul, over 2,000 years ago, entered into the city of Athens, he preached on Mars Hill and converted a few people. He decided then to leave and go 50 miles to the west over at Corinth. Corinth was located in the southern portion of the Grecian peninsula, a port city, and a rather wicked city, immoral at least. They tell me that back in those days, they used the word Corinthicize, and to Corinthicize one was to be immoral. That's how bad the city of Corinth was at that time. Paul began to preach there, and at first he was rather discouraged. We read here in Acts 18 where he preached in the synagogue of the Jews, and they blasphemed and would not accept the gospel. And Paul shook his garment, or shook the dust off his feet, as sometime expressed, and said, "Your blood be upon your own head. From henceforth I'm clean." He said, "I'm going to go to the Gentiles." And it seems that Paul was rather discouraged about the city of Corinth, but something amazing happens after that. The Lord talks to him. And the Lord kind of straightens Paul out, and he stayed there a year and 6 months. I'm going to read now from Acts the 18th chapter, and we're going to be reading about some of the things that transpired here in the city in regard to the apostle. You know, after Paul had preached that sermon, and he arrived over in Corinth in Acts the 18th chapter, we read some of the things that transpired. As a matter of fact, it is said that in about verse 7, "And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized." Things are looking up. It's looking a little better now. Up in an earlier verse, Paul was discouraged, but he's baptizing many of the Corinthians at this time. "Then spake the Lord to Paul." Now, this is interesting. He spake to him at night, in the night, by a vision. You know, ladies and gentlemen, Peter received a vision on the housetop in Acts 10. Paul received a vision over at Troas when he saw this man saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And many times visions were used to communicate unto people back in apostolic time. And so the Lord appears to him in a vision at night and says, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace." So he's telling Paul, "You should be encouraged, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." I've always been encouraged. Impressed with that last statement there in that particular verse, in verse 10, where he said he had much people in that city. And I believe that the Lord did have many people there because Paul stayed there and baptized a lot of folks. But what does that mean? Well, I believe that it means, ladies and gentlemen, that these people were potentially Christians, not Christians in the absolute sense. I believe there are at least three ways that God can have people. Now, they're not all the same. I believe, first of all, God can have people through the safety net. The safe net. Now, I'll explain that, and I believe I can prove it by the Bible. Over in the book of Mark, in Mark the 10th chapter in verse 14, Jesus said, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." I believe that God has some people and Christ has some people through safety. I believe little babies are safe, S-A-F-E, safe. I believe they're not liable to danger. I don't believe they're amenable to the law of God. Therefore, in that sense, I believe they belong to Jesus. I believe little babies belong to Jesus, even though they've never obeyed the gospel because they don't need to. Therefore, that's one sense in which Jesus has people, through the safety net. And by the way, that would include any person who is not amenable to the law of God, even though they might be an adult. If they're not mentally capable, mentally capable of accepting the truth, then they belong to the Lord through safety. That's number one. That's one sense in which God has people. The second sense in which he has people is through their obedience unto the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But before I talk about that, I want to talk about those who belong to the Lord potentially. And I believe that's what he's talking about here. When he said, I have much people in this city, he didn't mean they had become Christians. But he meant potentially they were children of God. All they had to do is to hear it and study it and check it out, and then they would obey. And I believe that God has people in Boonville, Mississippi, right today in Prentice County. I believe that God has people. All they need is to be taught. They have all the other ingredients, and I'm going to discuss who they are in just a moment. I believe they have all of the ingredients of becoming a child of God. Therefore, when the Lord said, I have much people in this city, he meant potentially they have all of the ingredients to obey the gospel. Now you think about that, because that's exactly what the Lord said. The Lord didn't say they were already Christians. He says, but Paul, you go out here and teach them, and they'll accept it. Who are these people who will accept the gospel? We're going to study about them in just a moment. But before we do, let's study the third sense in which God has people. That is, people who have actually become Christians and added to the church. In Acts, the second chapter, when the Pentecostians obeyed the gospel, the Bible says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And the ones that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day the Lord added unto them about 3,000 souls. I want you to notice what it says there. They gladly received the word of God. They were potentially Christians before they accepted it. They belonged to God in the sense that he uses that terminology right here in Acts 18. He says, Paul, I have much people in this city. Well, Lord, if you have them, they belong to you in some way. Yes, he says potentially. That's exactly what he's saying. He didn't use that word. But actually, that's what he's saying. They are honest people, and they're going to accept the gospel if you'll just go out there and preach to them. And so that is the third sense in which God has people. Now, let's go over them again. First of all, he has people through the safety net. Little babies and people who are not amenable to the law of God. They belong to the Lord. Number two, potentially he has people who are qualified or have the qualifications to become Christians if they'll hear the truth. Thirdly, he actually has people when they're born again, John 3:5. When they're baptized into Christ, you're added to the church. You're saved from your past sins. These people who were potentially Christians had not received the forgiveness of sins. And if they had died in that state, they certainly wouldn't have gone to heaven. But potentially, all they needed is for someone to teach them the word of God. Now, that brings up an interesting, thought-provoking question. What ingredients do people have who are potentially Christians? That is, in Corinth or here in Prentice County or wherever it may be. I'm going to tell you what they have. They have three things in common. One, they have IQ or intelligence enough that they are amenable to the law of God. You could call it IQ, intelligent quotient, which IQ means. They have sufficient intelligence or maturity that they can accept the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In John 6, beginning with about verse 44, Jesus says, no man can come unto me except the Father who has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up to the last day. As it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. He therefore that has learned the word, comes unto me. So there is a hearing and learning process in becoming a Christian. But in order to do that, you have to have sufficient intelligence to understand the gospel. If not, then you fall into the safety net, which I mentioned earlier. Now, that's number one. These people in Corinth had enough intellect they could accept the gospel. Number two, they were honest. In Luke the 8th chapter, Jesus gave a parable of the sower and the seed. And he said the seed is the word of God, Luke 8:11. And he said this seed falls into the good and honest heart. And it produces a Christian. Now I want you to notice in the text what kind of heart it falls into. Now that's the mind. The heart is the mind. And it falls into an honest heart. I say that the second qualifications of a potential child of God is honesty. You got to have that. You got to have honesty. And if you're not honest, then you're not potentially a Christian. I don't care how much Paul preached to you. So what the Lord is saying, Paul, is I'll tell you what I have in Corinth. I have some people out there who have sufficient intelligence and they're honest people. And if you'll go out there and preach to them, they'll accept it. So the third thing is to hear the word of God or to read the scriptures or to study or to search the word of God or to hear it, as in the case of Paul. And he says, if you'll just go out there and preach to them, they're not gullible people, but they're honest people. And he says, they'll become Christians. Now, do you see how God had people in Corinth? They had sufficient intellect. They had honesty. And they'd be willing to investigate. You know, the Bereans search the scriptures daily to see if these things be so. And that's a part of it. You study the word of God to see that what the preacher or teacher is saying is so, and then you'll accept it. That's how simple it is. That's the number two group that belongs to the Lord. They are potentially Christians. But that implies something. That implies that some people are not that way. Now, when the Lord spoke to Paul in this vision, he didn't say, Paul, now every person in Corinth, everyone out there is potentially a Christian. They're mine. I have all the people in Corinth. That's not what he said. He said, I have some people in Corinth. He said, I have some, not all. But what's the difference? Is it that some people in Corinth were more intelligent than others? Not at all. That doesn't have anything to do with it. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the fact that some of them are not honest. And some of them are not going to accept the gospel even though you preach it to them. Isn't that true in Prentice County? I tell you, you could preach till you're blue in the face to some people in Prentice County and it's just like pouring water on a duck's back. It serves no purpose. You know why? They don't belong to the Lord in the second category. They're not potentially Christian. The Lord said, Paul, I have much people in this city. But who are they, Lord? They're honest people. They're people who are searching for the truth. They're not prejudiced. They're not biased. They don't have preconceived ideas. But they're people who want the truth. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In John 5, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. He told Timothy, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there are people who will search, who will study, and who are honest. But not all people are that way. As a matter of fact, Paul had just encountered some people up here in the synagogue. And as you recall, the thing that happened when he preached to them, it says, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. Well, what kind of people? These were people in Corinth too. What did they do when Paul preached to them? Someone said, well, they accepted it. No, they didn't. Well, was it because it wasn't the truth? No, it was the truth. But they didn't want the truth. They didn't want the truth. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. So what did they do? They opposed themselves and blasphemed. They made fun of the preacher and what he taught. Some people in Corinth did that, but not all. He said, Paul, I have some people in this city. Who are they? They're people who are honest. So he separates the men from the boys. The Lord separated them. You don't have to be intelligent to see this point. I'm trying to drive it home to you. My friends, not everybody in the state of Mississippi belongs to the Lord potentially. And the reason they don't belong to the Lord, they're prejudiced, they're biased, they have preconceived ideas, and they're not going to accept the truth. It doesn't make any difference whether Paul preaches it or who preaches it. They don't want the truth. They're going to be like these people that I just read about. They're going to blaspheme, make fun of you, think you're the only one going to be saved. Who do you think you are? You see, that's what they said to Paul. But not all. He said, Paul, I have some people in this city. And I want to drive that point home to you. It needs to register. This is, matter of fact, this statement here gets my attention when the Lord said he had much people in this city. I tell you what, it really woke me up. Because it tells me that not all people potentially belong to the Lord until they change their attitude. Now that brings up an important point. Can a man who is dishonest become honest? Oh, yes, he can. Can a man who is prejudiced throw his prejudice out the window and finally accept the truth? Oh, yes, I've seen some folks do it. So there is some hope for people who are not potentially the Lord's if they'll just change their attitude. You follow me? That's right. Now, you can't fuss with me about this because I read it out of the Bible. Now, you may argue with the Bible and you may argue with what the Lord said. Notice the Lord said this. Some man didn't say it. The Lord said this to Paul. It was the Lord who said it. He said, I have much people in this city. Someone said, well, preacher, can you give me an example of some people in the Bible who were potentially Christians before they actually became Christians, that they belonged to the Lord in the potential sense? Oh, yes, I can. As a matter of fact, the very man that is doing the preaching here was not always a Christian, but Paul was potentially a Christian before he became a Christian. Did you know that? Oh, yes. That's right. Someone said, well, what kind of a fellow was he? Well, he was an honest man, but honestly wrong. He was a sincere man, but sincerely wrong. He was a religious man, but religiously wrong before he became a Christian. But he was potentially a Christian. And I can prove that by the Bible. I can prove it. Someone said, but he was such a bad fellow before he became a Christian. That has nothing to do with it. He was sincere. He was honest. All Paul had to do is to hear the truth. And in that sense, he was potentially a child of God because when the Lord appeared to him on the Damascus Road, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. He didn't even know who the Lord was, and he didn't know he was persecuting the Lord, but he was. Now notice that honesty. He said, Lord, what will you have me to do? You speak and I'll obey. He said, you go into the city and it'll be told you what to do. Paul didn't say, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to blaspheme you and I'm going to make fun of you. You don't know what you're talking about. Is that what he said? No. He didn't say, I'm already a religious man. I've been following the tradition of my mom and daddy for years. I've been following the tradition of my fathers and I'm not going to give up the religion of my mom and daddy. Did he say that? Not hardly. But some folks say it. Some folks say it in Prentice County. I'm not going to give up the religion of my father and mother and my grandfather. You know, Paul had a grandfather too. He said, I was exceedingly zealous toward the tradition of my fathers. So Paul knew the religion of his father and grandfather and great-grandfather. But he didn't say, now I'm not going to change. He said, Lord, what do you have me to do? He said, you go into the city and you'll be told what to do. And Ananias, a preacher, was sent to him. He said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. And immediately he didn't confer with flesh and blood, but he was baptized. Now why? Because he was potentially a child of God before he became one in reality. Someone says, but wait a minute, preacher, back up there. Let's say that Paul had been dishonest. What would he have said? He said, well, I'm not going to accept this. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to change. I don't believe in jumping from limb to limb. And I don't either, as long as you're on a good limb. But if you're on a rotten limb, you better get off of it religiously. Paul didn't say that. He said, I'll obey immediately. He said, I didn't even confer with flesh and blood. I didn't ask anybody. I was baptized. And so will you be if you hear the truth and you understand the truth and you're potentially a child of God. That's what you're going to do. But if you're not, you're going to fuss about it and you're going to be prejudiced. And you may even blaspheme like these folks, some of these people did. You may even blaspheme. Now you begin to see what the Lord meant. When he says, Paul, I have much people in this city. I want you to understand that. Potentially, all they need is the gospel. But these three things are indispensable with you being potentially a child of God. Having the IQ, having honesty, and searching or studying the Word of God. 1, 2, 3. If you don't have that, you're not potentially a child of God. If any one of the three is missing, you're not potentially a child of God. But if they're a part of your life, then you are potentially a child of God, though you're not saved yet. So Paul is an example of one who was potentially a child of God before he became one in reality. Let me give you another example. Cornelius in Acts the 10th chapter. Cornelius was a military man. He was a captain in the Roman army, a centurion. And he was a real good man. He wasn't like Paul. Paul was a bad man, in a sense. But he did it honestly. He thought he was supposed to persecute Christians. He thought he was supposed to persecute the church. He thought that. He was honest. Well, so was Cornelius, but he wasn't a bad fellow. He was a praying man. He gave much alms to the people. He was a humanitarian. He was benevolent in his deeds of charity. And an angel of the Lord appeared unto him and told him to send to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter, and said, he'll tell you what to do to be saved. Well, someone says, then you think Cornelius was potentially a Christian even before he became one in reality? Yes, indeed. And the Lord knew that. And he sent an angel to him. And so he sent three men down to Joppa to get the preacher, just to do what the Lord said. And they got Peter and brought him back. And Cornelius had gathered all his family together to hear the gospel. And when Peter arrived, Cornelius thought he was supposed to bow to the preacher. So he fell down at his feet and began to worship Peter, of all things. But he did that sincerely. Peter said, stand up, for I am also a man. You do it not to worship me. I'm a man just like you are. You don't worship men. And he said, now I'm here. Why have you sent for me, Cornelius? He said, we want to hear all things commanded of the Lord. Potentially a child of God. Oh, yes, indeed. He's one of God's people, potentially. He's one of them that the Lord said, I have much people in this city. Cornelius, if he'd have been there, it'd have been one of them. Peter opened his mouth and preached unto him the gospel. And after the Holy Spirit had fallen on the household of Cornelius so that they spoke in tongues, convincing those six Orthodox Jews who Peter had brought with him that God wanted the Gentiles saved. In the last two verses, Peter asked a question. He says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? These, whom was he talking about? He's talking about Cornelius, the household of Cornelius. He says, does anyone object to them being baptized into Christ? Even the six Jews didn't object. And the next verse says he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Now they are a child of God in reality. But Cornelius was a child of God potentially before he became one in reality. Are you listening to me? That's what the Lord meant when he said, I have much people in this city. There are people right here in this county and in the state of Mississippi, if we could just find them. And you know, that's the job, and that's what we have to get out here. Just find. There's some out there if you'll find them. Someone says, but most of them I talk to make fun of me and say they're happy in their religion. They don't want to even study the Bible, preacher. They just make fun of me. Well, they're not God's chosen, potentially. You see, because they're not honest. They're not willing to take the Word of God. But if you look, you're going to find one once in a while. And even though he's been mistaken, like Paul in his religion, he's going to say, well, you know, I didn't know this. And I've learned something. Paul learned something. Cornelius learned something. You know, when we become so arrogant that we think we know it all, and we can't be taught out of the Bible is the standard of authority, not some preacher. It's the Bible that's, and if you can put your finger on book, chapter, and verse and show it to them, they should accept it, not because you put your finger on it necessarily, but because it's in the book. Not because of who you are. They like to, most people like to attack you as a person. Who do you think you are? Well, they're attacking the wrong thing. They need to attack the Bible. And if you're teaching the Bible and put your finger on book, chapter, and verse and show them it's in the Bible, they need to do it not because you're the one that showed them, but because it's the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But they want to get personal. A lot of folks want to make it a personality thing. Well, who do you think you are to tell me, you see? That's not the issue. The issue is where the truth is. Are you following me? You see what I'm talking about? Don't make it a personal issue. Make it a biblical issue. You see, that's what Paul did. And Paul obeyed the gospel, and so did Cornelius. And so did Lydia and her household when Paul taught her the truth. She didn't fuss with him about it. That woman who sold purple from the city of Thyatira in Asia Minor, she became a Christian. Why? Because potentially she was a child of God before she became one in reality. But now I want to close with this. In order for you to go to heaven, you have to become one in reality. Not just potentially. You've got to be born again, John 3:5. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, repent of your sins, confess his name, be buried with your Lord in baptism, and arise to walk in newness of life. Because the Bible says it. Not because some person says it, but because it's the Word of God. If you're here today and you're subject in any way to the gospel call, we hope that you're potentially a child of God and that you'll become one in reality because the truth will make you free. We invite you to come as together we stand and sing our invitation song.